No. Yeah. The first day in this city, one day in this city. We want to get happiness. We want to get peacefulness. Everybody want to get happiness and peacefulness. Why we don't get happiness and peacefulness? Because our mind are not matured, not stable, and therefore our mind should be mature and stable. There are five causes that can lead one to attain arahata phala, arahata fruition, or make the mind mature and stable. So this Dhamma talk is in fact five ways to attain a stable mind and wisdom, or to realize the meaning of life. Like the matter of take care. Young or tender plants are not resistant to heavy rains, strong winds, and the burning sun. When they encounter heavy rains, they may be tired. When they encounter strong winds, they too may be tired. Also, when they encounter the burning suns, they may die. Therefore, they must be given protection and guarded. Similarly, the nature state of the mind of beings is uncontrolled and uncultured. Uncultured, the mind is not able to resist good or bad situation, or good or bad repercussions and indirect effects. Such a result of giving condition. When it encounters a good situation, the mind becomes elated, uplifted, and if uncontrolled, it may end up in suffering, or it may lead to suffering. Also, when the mind encounters bad situation, it becomes desolate, and depressed. Envy, the nature state of the mind of common people, can resist neither good nor bad effects. When faced with the uncertainty of life, a need is felt for a firm and stable mind. Such noble ones, like the Buddha and Arhata, are neither desolate nor depressed when they encounter good or bad situation. Their minds remain balanced, equanimous. The Buddha taught five ways to control the mind when faced with good or bad circumstances. I would like to share these ways for managing the mind or for controlling the mind when encountering the uncertainties of life, God and the Buddhas. There are five causes which can make the mind mature, stable, and free from mental defilements. First, let us address this question. What is a bhikkhus? This question. The Buddha taught that one who is a monk is called bhikkhu. It's called bhikkhu. Also, one who fear the cycle of the bath are also bhikkhus. For example, you fear the cycle of the bath or samsara, and therefore you practice meditation. If someone asks you, why do you practice meditation? You can answer, I am afraid of the cycle of sans-riba or sansara. It's called sansara. I want to escape from suffering or age and death, right? And therefore, who fears from this cycle of riba is called also bhikkhus. Therefore, bhikkhus means, or monks also bhikkhus, who practice meditation to escape from suffering, that person also we can call bhikkhus, vipassana, or nuns, or other female and females, or persons you can call bhikkhus. Right? But in the present, this difference, monks and lay people, their attitudes different. Monks, they have many moralities, 227, briefly, 227 moralities. The labor sense, they practice morality, how many? Five precepts, right? Five precepts or eight precepts, and different moralities. And therefore you pay respect to the monks because of their higher moralities, right? So, the title bhikkhu ultimately refers to a monk, nabis, nuns, lay person, who searches for liberation. The transition of suffering, when I say now, the bhikkhus, bhikkhus. He has two kinds of bhikkhus, really bhikkhus or yogis, right? You can call bhikkhus also, because he afraid of the massacre of rebirth, right? Rebirth. In order to cultivate a mature and stable mind and to realize the path and fruition of enlightenment, it is better to have good companions and to incline the mind towards various or noble ones. This is the way first. This is the very first way as taught by the Buddha. For the development of mature and stable mind, frankly speaking, it is essential that one associates with various or noble ones. What makes a good companion? What are the attributes of good friends? These questions are. These qualities and characteristics will be explained in the following stories. If you want to escape from sufferings, we should associate with Bhagavad Gita blessings. And this one, becoming a foolish person or a Bhagavad Gita person depends greatly on having good friends or bad friends. When associating with Bhagavad Gita ones, one may to become Bhagavad. And the same way, when associating with the foolish, one too may become foolish. I want to tell a story. Once there are many parrots building their nest in a forest of silk cotton trees. The pair of brothers stayed together in one nest. They were just plucked wings when storm blew heavily through the forest. The two bears fled out of their nest and down to separate places on the ground. One brother bear fell into the dwelling of a group of robots, while the other bear fell into a hermitage. The parrot thus fell into the hands of the robots, imitated everything they did, and was taught how to speak and behave by its masters. But what it learned to speak was the language of the robots and its manner and behavior too. Murdered the young of the parrots, the other brother who fell into the hermitage was brought up by a group of hermits, and also was taught how to speak and behave by its masters. The speech of the hermits as this, his manner and behavior. One day, a king named of Panchala was going on a riot in the forest and being separated from his retinues. He lost his way back to the palace. He happened to arrive at the dwelling of the robots. Knowing him to be the king, they held their residence. Only a guardsman and the parrot were left behind. The king was very tired from the hunting and decided to take a short nap. And seeing this, the parrot said to the guardsman, "Look at what there. The king is asleep. Kill him and take all of his gems and jewels. Do it now, right now." The guardsman replied to the parrot, "This is the king. It is not appropriate to do such things." The parrot was not satisfied with the guardsman's response and countered him, "You fool, you coward. You said before that you would kill him, but now you dare not." The king, in his rosy state, overheard the conversation between the robust in the within the parrots and the grassmen. He quickly went away as it was unsafe for him to stay there any longer. The king's son arrived at the dwelling of the hermit. At that time, all of the hermits had gone into the forest searching for food. Only the parrot remained there. Upon hearing the king, the parrot explained, "O Gloria King, you are warmly welcome. Here, please take a rest. There is much cool drinking water passed by my masters, the hermits. Over there, tap yourself, Gloria King. There are many fruits over there also, brought back by my masters too. Tap yourself. I am sorry that I cannot myself serve you. Although I can speak well, I have no hands to offer these things to you." The king then said, "Ask the parents." But the king then said, "Say, how about that? I just met another parent who is very rude and foolish, but you are very polite and wise." The parrot replied, "O kings, that parrot and I are brothers, born of the same nest, born the same mother, and raised and bred the same nest. However, we were separated when we were still very young. My brothers, Miss Masters, are very rude and foolish. Therefore, it too has become foolish and rude." So, I, however, learned to be polite from my wise teachers. The parrot applied again. Because the brother parrots, his bodhisattva, what are to be. And they are very wise, right? Very wise. "When four fish or meat is wrapped up in a leaf, the fourth man emits from the leaf. Likewise, when rose or star flowers are contained in the same way, a fragrant smell emits from the leaf. Similarly, when associated with the bhatiyas, one will too become bhatiyas. And when associated with wicked persons, one becomes wicked." In this world, if you associate with bhatiyas, you also will become bhatiyas, right? If you associate with foolish person or wicked person, you also will become foolish person, wicked person, right? Because their behavior are very different. Foolish persons, foolish men, they want to hunt other people, they want to rob other properties, they want to kill other people, and therefore their behavior are very rude. But even once, their behavior are very polite. And therefore, they never hunt other people, right? They never hunt other people. You never do bad action. Body action, Baba action, Vedic actions. Their actions are pure. And you ask the CH, which body of ones, you also can make their behavior. Right? And therefore, very important for the people in this world. I want to tell another story. In the same manner as in the previous story, when brought up by good parents, children may become virtuous. And may also reap good fruits produced from the seeds planted within them by their parents. If you associate by your parents, you also become by your sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. You may remember Anathapenika. Anathapenika. In the Buddha's time, he's very famous. He's very famous. The millionaire offered generously during the time of the Buddha and was also the donor of the Jetavana monastery. His name is Anathapenika. Anathapenika. He had three daughters named Mahasubhadra, Tulasubhadra, and Sumana Devi, and one son named Kala. He and his daughters were very friendly with the disciple of the Buddha or the Sangha. With the discipline of the Buddha or the Sangha, and were quite familiar with their tendencies. Each day, about 100 or 200 members of the Sangha would go to their residence to receive food every day, most in their house for almost food. Right? So, each day, right? They consulted with the Sangha member beforehand, and therefore they are very familiar with of Sangha because they every day offer food to the Sanghas. They know the wish of Sangha, the wishes of Sangha, what food Sangha likes or dislikes. And therefore, they prepare the good food for Sangha. When the Sangha, when they are past, they have food very happy. So, other donors, other people want to offer donors. They are not familiar with the Sangha. And therefore they ask Anathapenika or another lady, Visakha. They are very familiar to the Sanghas. And therefore they know how to prepare the food for the Sangha or Bodhas. Therefore other donors want to offer dana. They consulted with Anathapenika or Visakha. And therefore Anathapenika cannot resort to the Sangha at his home, because he has to go other people's house, other donor's house, for preparing the food. The preparation, the food for such large number made them so busy, that they were unable to directly research the food to the Sanghas. another Devika requested that his elder daughter, Mahasubhaya, Mahasubhaya, right, offer the food to the Sangha on behalf of their families. As a very devoted Buddhist, Mahasubhaya restarted the Sangha work, and every day ran smoothly. Thanks to this, she had the opportunity to hear the noble Dhamma occasionally. One day, while listening attentively to the Dhamma's talk, she obtained Sotapatti Patimpression, Mahasubhaya. When the Upadana occasionally he listened Dhamma talk, at that time she attained Sotapatti Patimpression, first state of enlightenment. First enlightenment. We may see clearly here that her noble attainment was surely the result of being brought up by Vajra's parents because of Vajra's father. And therefore, she also became Vajra once. When she came of age, Mahasubhaya was married to a man. By the custom, she had to go up to live at her husband's house. So, her father, Anagabhinika, passed this noble responsibility of offering the ampus on to his second daughters, Sulasubhaya. Like her elder sisters, she too served the Sangha world. She too had the opportunity to hear Dhamma teachings occasionally, and one day attained Sotapatti Patimpression while listening attentively to the Dhamma talk. Second daughter also attained first day of enlightenment, Sotapatti Patimpression. This also because of Vajra's fathers. They associate with Vajra's fathers. Because Anagabhinika very familiar with the Buddhas. When he saw the first time to the Buddhas, he listened to the Dhamma. He attained Sotapatti Patimpression. And therefore, his faith or confidence never disappeared to the teaching Buddha in Dhamma and Sangha. Because he knows Dhamma. Never give us three tribulations. Tribulations. Right? Tribulations. When she came east, she too was married like her eldest sisters. When she married like her sister, eldest sisters, right? She also had to move away to her husband's house. So, Anagabhinika again had to pass on the responsibility of offering the ampus to Manaki, the youngest daughters, right? The younger daughters. Her name is Sumana Devi. The third daughter was assigned the duty of serving the ampus to the Sangha. Also like her elder sisters, she served them respectfully and had golden opportunities to hear the Dhamma. She attained not only the first step of Sotapatti Patimpression, but also the second step of Sakadagami by conclusions. The youngest daughters attain second stage. Sakabari by conclusions. Sakadagami by conclusions. Jihaya then her elder sisters. Right? Elder sisters. Which is more noble, right? Her life was more honorable than her elder sisters. All of this research for the spaces, for the sisters, where the outcome of being brought up by their noble parents, right? Noble parents. All three daughters attained enlightenment, right? Enlightenment. Because of Bhajiya Pada. Because of Bhajiya Pada, right? Another Vedika's daughters all attained either first or second level of enlightenment by doing wholesome deeds and listening to the Dhamma. However, his youngest son, Kala, was not like his sister. He neglected the Buddha and Sangha when they came to receive input at his home. He did not know how to appropriately welcome them. Neither did he know how to prepare seats for them, not to receive them food, not to serve them food. Much worse, he did not like to listen to the Dhamma given by the Buddha, nor his disciples after meal. Kala only referred to go out and playing with his friends. His father, Ananda Bhinika, thought to himself, "My son Kala does not pay respect to the triple gem, namely the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha." Although a son of pious monastery donor, he does not pay attention to appropriate religious texts and instead associates only with foolish and even wicked friends. Nana Bhinika thought himself, "It is not proper for me to neglect his inappropriate behavior and manner and to let him fall to the hellish abodes. What can I do for his benefits? How can I make him pious?" Another Bhinika thought about his son, One day another Bhinika had an idea and therefore sent for his son. When Kala approached him, Ananda Bhinika said gently, "Dear son, come closer to me." Kala replied bluntly, "Father, what is the matter? I am going to meet my friends now. If you have something to say, tell me quickly." At the youngest and only son, Kala, went like a child, right? Went like a child. Another Bhinika then said to him, to his son, "My dear son, today is the birth day. Please go to the monastery and observe the eight precepts." Eight precepts, we should put another three precepts. We call our Vajana, maybe you know that, right? วิกาลาโพสันนิจจ์ปิดาวาริกาวิสุขาทัศนะมาลาการนาวินิปนาดารินามันนาอุปสนะไอ้เอออุจจเสนามาเสนานาดาติวิเทมปุชอิสกอเอกริสต์ไอ้มาริยาชันทูดีอิสสบาดเดย์ please go to the monastery and observe the egregious when you return after having observed the precept, I will give you 100 coins, right? He passed with the money, right? He passed with the money. Really asked Kala, he asked his father, really? Yes, suddenly, replied his father, right? Then I will go to the monastery and observe the eight precepts as you wish, answer Kalas, because you want to get 100 coins, 100 money, right? 100 money. So he went off to the monastery to observe the eight precepts. However, being ignorant of the appropriate ways to behave at a monastery, he slept at a improper area and returned home at daybreak. His father welcomed him at the gate and said, "His attendants, my son Kala has come back from the monastery after having observed the abyss. Give him food and drinks." Kala replied abruptly, "No, father, no food and drink. As you promised, father, you must pay me 100 coins. Only after he received the coins did he eat and drink. For another Sabbath day, another Vinika sent for his son and said to him, "Dear son, today is the Sabbath day. Please go to the monastery and observe the precept, and also learn one verse from the Dhamma talk given by the Buddhas. If you are able to learn one verse, I will give you 1,000 coins. It was his money, with passive money, 1,000 coins. As before, Kala agreed and went off to the monastery to observe the precept, only because he was so eager to receive 1,000 coins. This time, however, he did not sleep over at the monastery. Since he was eager to learn a verse from the Buddha's Dhamma talk, and then return home immediately to get 1,000 coins from his father. The Buddha knew Kala's intention, so he taught the Dhamma in a very clever way. Using his psychic powers, the Buddha made it in such a way that Kala could not commit one verse to memories, right? He tried and tried to memorize one verse taught by the Buddha, but was unable to do so, right? By the end of the discourse, Kala therefore decided to increase his attempts by trying to memorize the whole standards taught by the Buddhas. While doing this, he began to understand the Dhamma and penetrate more and more deeply into it. Kala then came to realize the essence of Dhamma and attained Sotapatti by intuition. Right? Because if you want to get one bus, the Buddha knows that, and therefore he didn't get immediately. Slowly he paid attention more and more, and then he understand about Dhamma, and therefore he attained passive or enlightenment, Sotapatti by intuition. At sunrise of the following morning, Kala did not return home in a hurrying manner as before. Instead, he walked along the way slowly and peacefully in a gracious manner, following the members of the Sangha lead by the Buddha. When they arrived at home and at his home, he prepared seats for the Buddha and his disciples with tremendous care, and also assisted others in offering alms food to them. He only took his meal after the Buddha and the Sangha had finished theirs, not before. This man is very, very gentle because he knows Dhamma. He knows activities of the Buddhas, and therefore he prepared the seeds, offered the food, and other assistance. While they came here, the wish came into Kala's mind that his father not offer him the 100,000 coins in front of the Buddhas and Sangha. He realized at that moment how thankful it had been for him to receive the precept only with the intention of gaining money from his own father. At that moment, another Bendika said to him, in the presence of the Buddhas and Sangha, "Dear son, here is the money that I promised you, 1,000 coins, please take it." His father gave him 1,000 coins in front of the Buddha and his disciples Sangha. Kala shook his head and distant and said, "I wish not to accept it, father. Please keep it for yourself." He didn't accept 1,000 coins, he gave it his father. Because this time he was Vajiyo once. Understanding the situation, the Buddha asked, "What is the matter?" He asked. The millionaire Anadabhinika, admitted to the Buddhas, "Venerable, today I am very pleased to see my son behave in polite and gentle ways. On the previous Sabbath day, upon returning from the monastery, he refused to eat or drink before receiving the money. I offer him to take the eight precepts
Only after I see he receives 100 coins, what he eats or drinks. However, today I have offered him 1,000 coins, and he has refused to accept them. Right? Applying the Buddha, another Vinika, applying the Buddha. There are situations, right? There are situations. In response at another Vinika's explanation, the Buddha says, another Vinika, look at how valuable your money truly is. The value of enlightenment gained through Sotapatti Patimprusyan, which your son has just attained, is of higher value than the wealthy life of a universal monarch who enjoys different sort of wealth and luxuries. Then the Buddha explains the following verse with a reference to Kalas. Patagya ika risena cakasa kamenena sabha loka dipisena sada padi palangwarans. I will explain this, which is right, pretty enough. Okay, now, what shall we do? Some loving kindness, right? And then we share merit, right? We share. Please, repeat after me. May I be well, happy, and peaceful.
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 May my parents 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 be well, happy, and peaceful.
May my teachers be well, happy, and peaceful.
May my teachers be well, happy, and peaceful.
May my relatives be well, happy, and peaceful.
May my relatives be well, happy, and peaceful.
May my friends be well, happy, and peaceful.
May my friends be well, happy, and peaceful.
May all meditators, may all yogis in this Dhamma hall be well, happy, and peaceful.
May all meditators, all yogis in this Dhamma hall be well, happy, and peaceful.
May all beings in this Sangha be well, happy, and peaceful.
May all beings in this Sangha be well, happy, and peaceful.
May all beings in this town be well, happy, and peaceful.
May all beings in this town be well, happy, and peaceful.
May all beings in this state be well, happy, and peaceful.
May all beings in this state be well, happy, and peaceful.
May all beings in this country be well, happy, and peaceful.
May all beings in this country be well, happy, and peaceful.
May all beings in this world be well, happy, and peaceful.
May all beings in this world be well, happy, and peaceful.
May all beings in this universe be well, happy, and peaceful.
May all beings in this universe be well, happy, and peaceful.
May all beings be well, happy, and peaceful.
May all beings be well, happy, and peaceful.
This loving kindness, we practice loving kindness meditation. We send loving kindness meditation. Loving kindness means we love all beings, our mothers, our fathers, our brothers and sisters, our teachers, our friends, all beings. We love them. If we love all beings also will love us. We love you, including celestial beings. And therefore, this loving kindness meditation can get good benefit. Can get good benefit. The old masters give suggestion, when you want to practice meditation, before you practice meditation, you should reflect the attributes of the Buddhas, the nice qualities of the Buddhas. That's one reflection. And then you should practice loving kindness meditation before you practice meditation. Just briefly, or 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or 5 minutes is enough. Because we didn't practice loving kindness meditation, we want to practice inside meditation. Right? Inside meditation. And therefore, even though we practice inside meditation, before you practice inside meditation, if we reflect and the attributes of the Buddhas and loving kindness meditations, this supports you are inside meditation. You can get concentration, you can get peacefulness. And therefore, before you practice meditation, you can send loving kindness, or you can reflect the attributes of the Buddhas. You know, I think with the Buddha, Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sammabuddhassa. This is the attitude of the Buddha. Arahato Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sammabuddhassa. With the attitudes. If you remember homage to the Buddha, we know that the attitude of the Buddha. There are 90 qualities of the Buddha. Arahant, Sama Sammabuddha, Vidasarana Sampanno, Sukhato, Lokavidu, Anodro, Purisa, Dhamma, Sarati, Satadiva, Manusana, Bodho, Bhagavas. 9 chief qualities. There are many chief qualities of the Bodhas. These 9 chief qualities, just briefly, we cannot cut the chief quality of the Bodhas. Therefore, we believe the Bodhas. We know the chief quality of the Bodhas. And therefore, we pay respect to the Buddhas. Right? And therefore, we practice loving kindness meditation also. Right? Today, you get many wholesome deeds, morally wholesome deeds, concentration wholesome deeds, wisdom wholesome deeds. Morally wholesome deeds, you understand. Concentration wholesome deeds also you understand easily, because you concentrate on the objects, as in falling, or sitting, touching, or seeing, hearing, smelling. Every moment, if we observe, we can observe on the objects, and then we can get concentration. 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minute, 4 minute, 5 minutes. is concentration. We know ourselves. So also you can see ultimate realities of the mental and physical phenomena. For example, you know rising and falling. If you know rising and falling, you see tension, vibration, movements. This called ultimate reality of mental and physical phenomena. And therefore, you can get inside knowledge. So today, of course, many hold on this, right? Many hold on this. Morality hold on this, concentration hold on this, wisdom hold on this. This hold on this, never disappear, ever follow to you, wherever you reach. This hold on this gives you the great benefit, great benefit. And therefore, if we think the benefit of our practice, we should be happy. We are happy, right? We are happy. Oh, I have many, many wholesome deeds, right? These wholesome deeds, I never reborn lower existence. I will reborn higher existence. And therefore, we are lucky. You are lucky, right? We are lucky. And therefore, now we got many wholesome deeds. This wholesome deeds, we should share other beings also, right? Our mother and father, all beings, we should share merit. If we share gifts and we share merit, we also get a gain, wholesome deeds, because of share merit also, right? Okay, we will share merit now. Rabbi Abadami, may all beings share this merit.
May all beings share this merit,
which we have thus acquired,
which we have thus acquired,
for the acquisition of all kinds of happiness,
for the acquisition of all kinds of happiness.
May beings and inhabiting space and earth,
may all beings
inhabiting
space and earth,
may all the deities and others of mighty power share this merit of ours.
Share this merit of ours.
May they long protect the teachings.
May they long be protected.
See, we can say
Sarun.
Okay, finish now, right?